I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I'm George Lizas, spiritual teacher, psychic healer, and number one best-selling author. It wasn't long ago that I was stuck in a soul-draining job, held back by fears and limiting beliefs that stopped me from following my purpose and making a positive impact in the world. Fast forward past many hours of inner work and lessons learned, I now write books and teach courses to help you find and follow your purpose too. I created the Lit Up Lightworker podcast to empower you with simple, actionable, step-by-step spiritual tools and practices to overcome what holds you back and light up the world. If you're a spiritual seeker yearning for a more soulful and purposeful life, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Lightworker, welcome to another episode of the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. I have an exciting announcement for you today. I am so excited to announce my fourth book that's coming out in April called Secrets of Greek Mysticism, a modern guide to daily practice with the Greek gods and goddesses. I'm so excited to bring this new book out into the world. I've been working on it since 2020. It is all about the true essence of the Greek gods and goddesses and secrets of ancient Greek spirituality. Forget everything you know about the Greek gods and goddesses. I'm not teaching about them from a mythological perspective, but instead from a theological perspective. Specifically, in the book, I talk about the cosmology, the theology, and the spirituality of the ancient Greeks. I dive into all the 12 Olympians and talk about their true essence, not how they were portrayed in myths, but how they were honored by the religious people at the time. I provide meditations, rituals, mantras, and journal prompts, as well as altar work that you can use to work and call upon these deities. And of course, I include new moon and full moon rituals that you can do based on the ancient Greek tradition. I am super excited to share this. I've been a priest to Greek paganism for, I think, 7 years now, since 2017. I've been researching, writing about, and connecting with the gods ever since, and I'm so excited to share all my knowledge with you in this book. So if you're interested, make sure to go to GreekMysticism.com to get all the details about the book. When you get the book, you also get a free workshop all about meeting your guardian Greek god or goddess. So make sure to go to GreekMysticism.com to get all the details about that. You also get free workshops when you get my other books, specifically Protect Your Light. You can go to protectyourlightbook.com to get a workshop all about psychic scanning. And you can go to lightworkersgottawork.com to grab my book Lightworkers Gotta Work and get a workshop about finding your life purpose. So many freebies for you. I hope you enjoy them. In today's episode, we're talking about poisonous herbs and how to use them for magic and healing. One of the first flower essences that I ever worked with was the sacred Datura one. And I remember reading about that flower online and learning that it was one of the most poisonous flowers to consume and that even taking a small dose of it can be fatal. Now, thankfully, flower essences only contain the vibrational imprint of the flowers and none of the chemical constituents, so there was no real physical danger there for me. What there was instead was a dark night of the soul. Dun dun dun. So from an energetic perspective, poisonous plants and flowers can help bring the dark shadow aspects of ourselves to the surface so we can see and heal them. And that's exactly what happened during the month that I took the sacred Datura elixir. It was one of the most challenging months of my life, but also one of the most healing ones. Ever since I became increasingly fascinated by poisonous plants and herbs and wanted to learn more about how we can use them for healing, for ritual, for magic. So in this episode, I chat with Kobe Michael, who wrote the book Poison Path Herbal. In the episode, Kobe shares various ways that we can work with poisonous plants safely for healing. Specifically, we talk about what we can use poisonous plants for, the different types of poisonous herbs, safe ways to work with them, how to work with the symbolism, astrology, and plant spirits of herbs, and simple herbal practices and rituals that you can try at home. Enjoy this episode with Kobe Michael. Hey, Kobe, how are you?
Hi, fabulous. How are you?
I am well. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on to chat about your book, The Poison Path Herbal. This isn't a topic I expected to have on the podcast, but as soon as I saw the book, I'm like, oh my God, this is so interesting. This is so fun because there is so much negativity around poisonous herbs and plants. And I love the positive approach you bring to it. So I want to get started and talk all about it. But before we do so, I want to hear a little bit about your journey. What has been your journey discovering and working with the magic of poisonous herbs and herbs in general?
Yeah, I've been interested in plants and herbs since a really young age. I grew up in the garden with my grandparents, planting, growing flowers, vegetables. And I remember my grandparents had these sort of natural medicine books on just different herbal cures and things like that. And for whatever reason, just knowing what the different plants were capable of doing in the human body was something that was really fascinating to me, like even, you know, in elementary school before I was a teenager and all that. So always kind of drew me in. Poisonous plants came a little bit later, probably my early 20s. That's just something about poison in general, looking back, that's always kind of caught my attention and has popped up in different books and movies and things.
Yeah. Now, when thinking about poisonous herbs and plants, we don't necessarily start thinking about, oh, they can be healing and we can work with them for like healing purposes or spiritual purposes, but that's what you teach in this book. So can you share a little bit about like demystify the dangers and not dangers of poisonous herbs and plants when it comes to working with them for healing or spirituality and mysticism?
So that has kind of been a big part of my work, even just recently over the past couple of years. It was poison is very kind of attractive and seductive and mysterious in a lot of ways, and kind of draws you in. And then when you do sort of take a closer look, you kind of quickly realize that poison is kind of this blanket term that encompasses all of these different plants and fungi and concepts, even outside of the phytochemical realm, and looking at what the plants are physically capable of, but just looking at poison as sort of this occult concept, or almost like an energy that certain things kind of exude that has a really dramatic effect on other things when it comes into contact with them. So just sort of understanding and dispelling a lot of the fears surrounding it, because what I say all of the time to people when I'm teaching different classes is that it's the very same chemicals and compounds that make a plant poisonous that also make it medicinal.
Ooh, I love that. That's a great quotable thing to share, by the way. Now let's talk about this. So I guess the chemistry of it can be poisonous, like physically, but I like the fact that you talk about the energetic component as well. Sometimes I remember, because I work a lot with flower essences, and I'm on a monthly subscription, and every single month I work with a different flower. And I remember we worked with a sacred datura flower, which is a very poisonous flower. But when you take it as an elixir, you take the essence of it. It's a homeopathic remedy. So there's nothing of the chemistry of the plant in there. And what it did is it basically escalated a dark night of the soul, allowing you to see certain things that were suppressed, but already within the energetic field, so you can heal and move on with them. So I guess that poison aspect of sacred datura worked in that spiritual and energetic way, as well as the physical way, which would be taking that herb, which is like incredibly poisonous. So can you talk a little bit about the distinction between this energetic poison, quote unquote poison, and the actual like chemical poison of herbs and plants?
So the chemical poisons is going to vary from plant to plant, but so essentially in medicinal herbalism, these would be low dose herbs. So they're plants that have a very dramatic effect on the human organism. Straight across the board, they're going to affect all people in a relatively similar way. And at very sort of minute doses can have these potentially, very dramatic and sometimes deadly effects. So people that don't know what they're doing, or accidental poisonings and things like that, just sort of throughout history, as we've come to understand, how to work better with some of these herbal medicines, the understanding kind of makes them less poisonous. So there's very
Yes.
much like a human element to how we're working with them and how we're approaching them. And same thing with their energetics. So poisonous plants tend to get this air about them of being sinister and malefic and, connected to all of these dark and scary things. But in reality, they are just plants, just like any other plant. And when we talk about their sort of spiritual properties, they almost act as a mirror and kind of reflect back some of the dark or shadow aspects of ourself that we need to work through, either through fears or different blockages, or just kind of looking at, why are we uncomfortable by this particular plant when, we're really attracted and drawn into another one? And that can kind of tell us a lot about ourselves based on the different types of plant allies that we're attracted to.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the uses of poisonous plants. What are the possibilities there? both physical, herbal, medicinal, but also like spiritual and energetic.
Yeah, so just kind of starting on the energetic level, working with things like flower essences, ritual formulas, so topical application and using formulas in a more magical way, a more spiritual way. Those are going to connect to kind of the energy of poison in general, which is all about sort of transmutation and transformation. You know, they each sort of have their own energetic signature to them, but just kind of in general, they tap into this more primal aspect of ourselves. Medicinally, many of them are used in traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, in a lot of cases. So it's really just about how they're prepared and how they're applied. Over here in the U.S., we have a lot of stories kind of surrounding the Datura plant because it's one of the ones that are sort of most prevalent in North and South America. And you always hear stories of people eating the plant and poisoning themselves and going on these really uncomfortable trips for, you know, 2 or 3 days where they're essentially in like a self-induced psychosis.
Yes.
So very dramatic. Kind of things like that, but that's really, you know, circumstantial. People kind of seeking more of a recreational use outside of the context of, you know, plant medicine ceremony and different traditional cultures that have been working with them in that way and know how to prepare them and, you know, approach the plant spirit with respect and avoid a lot of those more dangerous kind of scenarios.
Yeah, speaking about the dangers and like overdosing on like poisonous herbs, what are some safety precautions we should have in mind before and while and like getting into this path of like learning about and using poisonous herbs?
Oh, well, part of the poison path and the practice of working with plants like this is sort of starting at the very beginning and establishing kind of a personal threshold for yourself. And working your way up. So that could be as something as minimal as just coming in contact with the plant briefly out in the wild, sitting with it, you know, maybe smelling the flowers or something like that. You know, that first initial contact is often a pretty transformative experience because we have this idea that, you know, it's a poisonous plant and even like the slightest touch is going to have these really intense, you know, deleterious effects. But in a lot of cases, it's not necessarily the case. You have to get in there a little bit more and almost try and cause yourself harm or act in kind of a reckless way to really get into some of these situations that are difficult to get out of.
Yeah, and I suppose like many plants can be poisonous to different degrees. We just know of the famous ones because they're famous through like movies and TV series. But I remember I have this little garden in my veranda, and I had this app that I used to like scan the plants and find out information about them. And there was their toxicity level. And many of the plants that we have in our houses, they're like toxic to some degree, mm-hmm. like poisonous. But it's yep. maybe like to a small degree. But in the same way, you wouldn't go out and eat like your flowers in your pots, you wouldn't go and eat like poisonous plants out in nature as well. I think just people want to meddle sometimes with poisonous plants just for the sake of it, or because, as you said, of the stories of how, for example, the Datura flower can get you into like a heightened state of consciousness, which is really psychosis.
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And just now, sort of understanding that too, like that. There are all sorts of different ways that plants can be poisonous, and it's kind of become this blanket term. You know, it could be something that causes a rash or a stomach ache, or it could be something that causes like coma, paralysis, and ultimately yeah. death. So it's a really wide kind of spectrum that we use this term for.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And in the book, you talk about different types of plants. Specifically, I can see the book of Venus here, the book of Saturn, the book of Mercury. Can you talk about those categories? I find them very interesting because I'm a Greek pagan, so I work with the Greek gods and goddesses. So I was excited to see Mercury and Venus over there.
Yeah, I kind of use the planets as just a really simple and accessible way to represent these different categories. And so when I wrote the book initially, I was very much sort of entrenched in paganism and traditional witchcraft or European witchcraft of the Middle Ages and going to the witch's Sabbat and things like that. So I took an interest in the nightshade family and particular, as well as things like poison hemlock, wolfsbane, and just reading about some of the folklore and different magical correspondence and things that were already out there, I started to notice these kind of patterns in themes that would come up. So broke those down into Saturn being some of the darker, malefic, more baneful workings. Mercury is more of a traveler, expanded consciousness, visiting other worlds, communicating with the dead. And then Venus represents sort of the aphrodisiac aspects that a lot of the plants have, but then also has sort of that dualistic side that we see in the witch goddess being sort of both beautiful and light associated with nature, but then on the other side, kind of being connected to the more primal, deathly aspects of the witch queen and the witch goddess.
I'm loving the polarity there and the duality of like how we can work with these plants in so many different ways. I'm interested about like the aphrodisiac qualities. Can we use poisonous plants safely for sex, either in energetic or physical ways?
Yeah, absolutely. So they've been used historically in some rather unethical ways. When we go back really, really far in history and see these love potions or pocula amatoria that were, you know, sometimes used on people that were not aware that they were being used on them. But kind of carrying it a little bit further, we see henbane, for example, being used in aphrodisiac massage oils for relaxation, lowering inhibitions. And then mandrake would probably be the biggest one, just because of its association with fertility and love magic. And, you know, so even on a microdose, they have this amorous effect, bringing out those Venusian energies, which is kind of in contrast when we think of them as being these dark Saturnian herbs. But sex in and of itself is kind of the other side of death. So it's not, you know, any surprise that they kind of contain both.
I love that. I love that correlation. Okay, let's talk. I love about the book is that you include symbolism, you include astrology, you talk about the plant spirits and how we can work with plants in such a wide diversity of ways. You have glyphs in the book as well, representing different herbs. Can you talk a little bit about why you wanted to bring in all these different aspects of the herbs and how we can start thinking about plants and herbs in that way as well, not just about the physical aspect of them, but their symbolism, their folklore, the astrology behind them as well?
Yeah, so I kind of consider all of the existent folklore and magical correspondences that have been written about and sort of widely circulated as our kind of a current like vocabulary that we have that we can draw from to make all of these new inferences when it comes to kind of building our own symbol sets and associations with these plant allies, because they they align with a lot of different spirits and energies and things like that that might not be, you know, directly traceable to some kind of historical association or something that has been documented. So through understanding their stories, their myths, their folklore, we can connect it to things that are meaningful to us. And with the plant spirit glyphs, that was kind of a way to provide a means for people that were not necessarily going to be growing the plants or coming into contact with live plant material because they're not, you know, necessarily accessible that easily all over the place. And in a lot of cases, they're kind of tricky to grow. So with the plant glyphs, it's a process, just a basic sigil making process, essentially, where you kind of sit in meditation with the plant spirit. So visualizing the way that it looks, thinking about its mythology, its story, its chemistry, and then sort of breaking down the Latin name is what I used to create mine, breaking those letters down and then creating an actual glyph out of it to tap into. I love that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I mean, it's so powerful just connecting with the plant spirit. Whenever I make my own flower essences, my favorite aspect, just waking up like at the crack of dawn, sitting with a plant or herb, meditating, and you can get so much healing and knowledge from the herb just by sitting next to it and meditating. And I never thought I would get so much out of it until I actually did it. And it was such a powerful way without even having an interaction with the plant necessarily, just meditating on it. So these are powerful tools that you're sharing. Now, do you have any favorite herbs or popular herbs that people should know about?
Well, my favorite one is Atropa belladonna or deadly nightshade. Well, that's the one that I bring up the most.
Love that.
Yeah, so she's kind of been the guiding force on this entire journey for me. And I think it is one, you know, it's deadly nightshade, so, and it's the poison path. So of course it's going to be one that everybody kind of like gravitates to and gets excited about. But, you know, even something as simple and common as tobacco, and just as versatile as a magical ceremonial plant that is for different offerings, can be a really, you know, beneficial one to use or to work with, but it also has kind of that baneful side or those poisonous associations. And whether we consider it as like through kind of the misuse of taking tobacco out of its original context, and now it's, you know, being rolled into cigarettes and causing addiction and cancer and all of these sort of negative effects, sort of reimagining, re-understanding our relationship with that, kind of getting back to a more grounded and spiritual use of that plant. Tobacco is also in the nightshade family, technically poisonous, but not, you know, as dramatically poisonous as deadly nightshade or datura.
Wow. And what are some of the other like accessible plants that we can easily find and work with like around the world?
I would think probably one of the most accessible would be black nightshade or bittersweet nightshade. It's still in the nightshade family. So Solanum nigrum, Solanum dulcamara are just kind of commonly growing, almost like what we would consider weeds. But they do have a lot of those kind of baneful Saturnian properties without being, you know, super, super poisonous.
Yeah. Speaking of weeds, I just realized that sometimes plants just show up when you need them. I saw a beautiful flower grow in the parking lot of my building last year. And I'm like, oh, that's, I'm very curious about it. So I scanned it with my little app and I found it was like considered to be a weed called the Asiatic day flower. It was a beautiful purple flower. And I just sat with it. I meditated with it. I created an elixir out of it. I took it. I loved it. And I use it year after year now. But do you find that sometimes poisonous plants just show up for certain reasons? And how can we start working with the spirit of that plant when it shows up in our lives, whether it grows somewhere or whether someone suggested or we see it somewhere and we feel called to it and drawn to it?
Yeah, it seems like as soon as you sort of shift your attention to the poison path and kind of being open to that wisdom, that they do start to pop up. You know, a lot of them are very eye-catching, just like with Datura and the really large trumpet-shaped flowers. Or here in Florida, we have a lot of angel's trumpets, the Brugmansia, which is, you know, even more dramatic. So just kind of being around and being nearby, like these, they're master plant spirits, connected to a lot of important sort of beings and entities all around the world. And I would say that the Daturas and Brugmansias are probably the most kind of ceremonially significant plants on the planet, because we see them being used in India, in South America, North America, the connection to like the European witch's ointment. So that's one that seems to pop up all over the place as a shapeshifter.
Wow. And talking about the witchcraft aspect of plants, how can we work with them for magic or for rituals?
I create a number of different ritual formulas. So actual ritual oils, or essentially the same thing, a flying ointment, which would be just a more solid form of an oil. And people kind of get hung up on how to work with them and how to actually apply them. And what I tell everyone is to just use them in the same way that you would use any other sort of magical formula, you know, putting it on your wrists to have some of the vibration with you throughout the day, like for whatever the intention is, or using it as an anointing oil on a candle. So we're really just kind of limited to our own creativity when it comes to you sort of working with the plants magically, or carrying them in charm bags and different sympathetic approaches.
Yes, I'm excited. And I'm going to include all the links to all that you create in the show notes below, so that people can browse and access all your magical products. Thank you so much, Kobe, for coming onto the podcast. You opened up my world in a completely different direction. I'm so excited to explore more around like poisonous plants. Can you please share a little bit about where people can get the Poison Path Herbal and where they can get in touch with you and work with you?
So the Poison Path Herbal is going to be available at most local bookstores. You can also get it on Amazon or on my website, poisonersapothecary.com. Best way to get a hold of me is via social media at Poisoners Apothecary. And if you're interested in learning more and taking a deep dive into Poison Path mythos, you can connect with me at patreon.com/poisonersapothecary as well.
Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, Kobe. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Before you go, make sure to grab your free workbook to find your life purpose at georgelizas.com/life purpose.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.